Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How was your long weekend?
Not really that long.
I was a little busy this weekend for the charts team.
It was it was Adele giving. It's all about Adele. There was a little time off, but it was
that's good.
I spent a lot of time in front of my laptop.
Oh, that is not good.
Yeah, but it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, this is true. Because, the Christmas music has begun.
Yeah. And also the most wonderful time of the year because it's just like nonstop deadlines because, you know, every major album comes out at, you know, sort of Thanksgiving, Christmas time. And there's just a lot of, it's the most wonderful time and also the most busy time of the year.
Yes, this is true.
Was your weekend nice?
Oh, it was delightful. It was a very sporty weekend because my Michigan State Spartans played in Anaheim, California this weekend. So I got to see them play basketball twice, which was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't get to see them very often in Southern California, so.
That's sport ball you're talking
about. Sport ball. I love sports. Go sports.
Yay, sports. Yay, sports. No idea. All right. Well, the Billboard Pop Shop podcast, which is presented by Audible this week, is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. On this week's show, we interviewed Allie Brooke from Fifth Harmony.
Yes.
Yay. Katie, you actually talked to Allie.
I did. I had such a good conversation with Allie. And, you know, she actually called in because November was Prematurity Awareness Month, and Allie was born a preemie. And so she's working with the March of Dimes to help their cause. But, you know, since this is the Pop Shop podcast, we obviously had to get in plenty of music questions, too. So we talked about their sophomore album, which they're working on now, following up the success of Worth It, and being named Group of the Year at Billboard's Women in Music event. So lots of fun stuff to look forward to.
Yay! Plus, it's basically an all Adele edition of the show.
I should have asked Allie about Adele, too, just to really get the Adele plugged into every part of the show.
Allie, what do you think of Adele?
Yeah.
Have you purchased Adele's album yet? Would you like to work with Adele?
Yeah.
It's just, it's nothing but Adele this week, for the most part. I mean, there's going to be a little bit of other stuff. But, I mean, with a historic week like the one we just had with Adele's new album, 25, debuting on the Billboard 200 at number one with a bajillion copies sold.
Oh, yes.
We kind of have to talk about it, and there's so many things to say about it. So we'll talk all about that. Plus, did anything else debut on the charts?
Stay tuned.
We might tell you. But first, some housekeeping notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode. And give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or at KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. Everything's coming up Adele. I know this is going to be so ridiculous. Literally, like, everything in the show is going to be almost about Adele. So she's still number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with Hello, the first single from the album. Plus, She has four other songs on the chart. I think people might be surprised that, like, not the entire album is on the chart.
Like Justin Bieber accomplished with his album last week. Yeah,
Justin had, what, 17 songs on the album a week 17
ago? 17 of the 18 of his deluxe edition of Purpose.
Well, see, here's the difference. One, Adele's album was not available to stream on any streaming services. Right. So that already is going to be a hinder.
Yeah.
The only song from the album that was available on any streaming services was Hello.
Yes.
So that helps. So the other songs that are on the chart are all on the chart from basically track sales or a little bit of airplay that they might have received.
Okay.
So the other songs from Adele that debut this week are When We Were Young at number 22.
Which she's been performing quite a bit.
Right. That was the one that she did.
On SNL.
Yeah. And before that, there was the one where she did at a studio.
It was a studio recording and they played it on 60 Minutes Australia, was it? 60 Minutes Australia?
And that's where it got the pickup
from? Yeah. Oh. Hmm. And then they put that on YouTube so you could watch that whole video and hear that song before the album came out.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Water Under the Bridge debuts at number 70. Send My Love to Your New Lover, which she's performed on SNL as well, I think.
I don't think so. Nope. Not on SNL.
She's performed that somewhere.
I think she has, yeah. And that's like my favorite song title of all time.
It's
very
poppy.
Loretta Lynn.
Yeah.
Wow. I love it.
We'll talk about Loretta Lynn more next week, probably after the Women in Music event.
Absolutely.
Women in Music is this Friday?
December 11th.
This
Friday, next.
Next Friday.
Yep.
And then also Remedy debuts at number 87. I like on my notes it says Remedy, number 87, number 87. Just making sure that
it's just really number 87.
Just really trying to get across the idea that it was really number 87. But I think most of the focus this week was on the album.
Yes.
For obvious reasons.
Yes.
I have to say I've probably written probably a story a day since like last Saturday. So for like basically a daily story for like the past like 10 days about Adele.
People have been hungry for this information, so.
And each story does really well, so yes. It's not like, I mean, there's always something new to report.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think the big, huge number is that it did 3.38 million copies in its first week. That is the week ending November 26th in the United States, according to Nielsen Music. That is 3.38 million copies in traditional pure album sales. That's not our fancy overall consumption number. Mm-hmm. That is just plain old albums. That, of course, is the single largest sales week for an album since Nielsen began tracking point-of-sale music purchases in 1991. That beats the previous record held by NSYNC's No Strings Attached when it debuted with 2.42 million in the week ending March 26th, 2000. Also, 25 is the only album to sell more than 3 million copies in a single week. To put even a finer point on it, I don't think anyone ever thought NSYNC's record would ever be broken
again.
Yeah,
just the way the record industry has changed since then.
Like, that was 15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And for us...
Exactly.
No, I mean...
Those noises you just made pretty much sum it up.
album sales have, like, fallen off a cliff repeatedly
in
the past 15 years.
Right.
So for her to even sell a million copies was a mammoth idea. Just how? Ooh. And I think, I think I've said this before, but I'm not sure. Maybe I'll say it again.
Mm-hmm.
In the past like few years, when 21, Adele's last album, really started to take off, people began to wonder, A, could her follow-up do a million?
Right.
And also... B, could any artist do a million copies? Like, those were the two questions that were happening. Like, could any artist sell a million copies of an album? And because the last, I think it was three or four times, they have been Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And then one of those times was Lady Gaga's Born This Way album in 2011.
Which has a bit of an asterisk next to it.
Big asterisk. No shade. But her album's first week was heavily goosed. By a, wasn't it 99 cents?
99 cents.
99 cents at Amazon, MP3. So it probably wouldn't have sold a million copies. It still would have had a really great first week. But it may not have sold a million copies. So there's an asterisk there. So really, if we just look at it like plain old normal album sales, where things aren't 99 cents, it's been like Taylor.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift. So
can an artist other than Taylor Swift ever sell a million?
Could anyone other than Taylor Swift? And I think the concept was, oh, Adele could.
Yeah.
And then as I wrote in one of my stories, I said, well, that was the first achievement. Like, can she do a million?
Yep.
Okay, well, could she maybe, you know, beat Britney Spears' single week female 1.
record? 1.6?
1.32.
1.32. I'm giving 1.32.
For Oops, I Did It Again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think before the album, before 25 came out, industry forecasters were like, oh yeah, that's going to happen. Like,
yeah.
Can we go for 1.5? Can we go for 2?
Yeah, we even had that headline that was like, it's definitely going to sell a million. What about 2? Question mark, which we would make fun of, but now is not, you know, is
it,
actual.
It seemed hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. It did.
It just seemed like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm like, no album has even sold 2 million copies in the entirety of 2015.
Right.
Like, not a single album has sold 2 million copies in 2015, except for 25. it is the only album to sell more than 2 million copies in 2015, and it did it all in 1 week.
Yeah.
It's the only one to do more than 3 million in a week.
It became, like, the best-selling album of the year after, like, 2 or 3 days of sales or
yeah,
something.
Basically, yeah, like, probably, like, 3 days.
Yeah.
I don't have that particular statistic. What else can we say?
Just so much.
Here's a fun one. 41% of all albums sold in America last week were actually Adele's 25. So there were 8.2 million albums sold in the U.S. Of those 8.2 million, 3.38 million of them were all 25.
And so, did I see, like, not to put you on the spot, but I heard this on the radio on the way in,
uh-oh,
that albums number 2 through, like, 80-something on our Billboard 200, if you add all of their sales together, it would equal Adele's 25 sales.
Not quite. On our top album sales chart, which is our chart that just measures traditional album sales, 25 is obviously number one. If you take the combined sales of numbers 2 through 100 on that chart,
wow,
which is the whole chart,
yes,
they would add up to 1.48 million.
What?
So you'd have to more than double.
Oh, my God.
Everything from 2 to 100.
Yeah.
Take that, add it together, times it by 2, add in some more.
And then.
Then you'll get 25.
Get to Adele's numbers.
What I actually did was, our chart doesn't run that deep. So I actually had raw data from Nielsen.
Okay.
And it goes to number 500.
Okay.
I added up numbers 2 through 500 of the overall top-selling albums, and it still would not add up
to my
Adele.
God. So it's even more ridiculous than I heard. That's crazy.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's yeah.
That definitely puts it in perspective.
Sorry,
everybody else who's had an album this week.
Basically. Fun fact, if we let's go with this. If there are 10,080 minutes in a week, you know,
sure,
60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, mm-hmm, 24 times 7.
Mm-hmm. Math.
And, you know, there are 3.38 million copies of 25 that were sold, mm-hmm, in that period. If we assume that, that would mean 335 copies of 25 were sold every minute last week.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Which you could really amplify that number on certain times of the week, because, like, on the first day, it did, like, more than 900,000 just at iTunes alone in America. So, like, the iTunes servers were probably, like, you know,
max,
like, collapsing under the weight of Adele's 25.
If they survived that, then their servers are good.
Yeah.
Basically, they found out.
If you can survive the release of Adele's 25, you can survive anything. Goodness gracious. I'm literally just looking through pages and pages of things that I wrote. The album sold 1.71 million compact discs last week, 1.64 million digital albums. Hey, and 22,000 copies on vinyl LP.
Wow, look at that.
Which, you know, I kind of thought that it would set a record for vinyl album sales, but it didn't. No.
Hmm.
It's the third biggest week in Nielsen history.
Wow. Okay.
Behind the debuts of Pearl Jam's Vitalogy.
Okay.
Did 34,000. Interestingly, fun fact for chart geeks, which if you're a chart geek, you probably already know this, but back when Pearl Jam's Vitalogy was released, it came out on vinyl for 2 weeks.
First.
First.
I did not know that.
Before the cassette and CD
I
came
can't
out.
Call myself a chart geek, apparently.
So it actually charted that's on the Billboard amazing. 200 just from vinyl sales that first
week. So those Pearl Jam fans who needed to hear it, they had to do vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, back then in the early 90s,
yeah.
that was really, I mean, no one was buying vinyl.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it kind of existed, but not really.
Yeah.
And then the biggest week for a vinyl album in Nielsen music history was Jack White's Lazaretto. It debuted with 40,000 vinyl LPs.
Wow. And his Third Man Records really pushes the vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
They've got, like, the vinyl club where you can get vinyl sent to you every
Are you a
month.
Member of this club?
I am not, but yeah. I have friends who are, so I hear about it.
Yes, that club helped sales to a degree, but also the fact that he got a lot of press just from how that album was really tricked out.
Mm.
Like, if you held it at a certain angle, it spoke to you in tongues. Like, you know, it like makes pizza for you. And like, if this
is all true.
Well, not really. But I mean, there was like the vinyl itself, there were like so many, like
the packaging was
so many
insane.
Goodies on it.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
if you play it at a certain speed, you get a different song. There's a song that's on the inside groove or
that's
I don't know.
Cool.
But it, so yeah, anyway, 25 sold 22,000 vinyl albums, which is pretty
Still,
good.
Still to be in the top three of that is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. Well, I think those are the big, big salient points. Of the few.
Should we see how our Billboard.com readers did in their predictions?
We put some polls together, Katie, didn't we?
Yes. Keith helped me come up with some questions for a few polls for Billboard.com last week.
And the one that's sort of sales heavy was actually posted before the album came out, right?
It was the day.
The
it
day.
Was the release day of 25, so Friday last week, or, and you know, a week and
we came up with these questions you know, before we kind of realized just how mammoth the sales would be. So some of the questions seem a little cute now.
Yeah, they're quaint.
They're quaint.
They're quaint questions now. The first one was just straight up, will Adele's 25 break NSYNC's record?
Yeah.
Which obviously it did in three or 4 days? 4 days.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that was just a yes or no question, and our readers did a good job on this one. They predicted 83% predicted that yes, that she would beat NSYNC's record.
Now, do we have how many people actually participated in this poll?
I do at my desk. I don't.
Do you recall if it was a significant number?
No, I didn't even look at that. I just looked at the percentages, but I totally could look at the numbers.
There was a boatload of comments on this particular story.
Oh, my goodness. Yes,
so
hundreds.
I think
of
there was
comments.
A lot of engagement on this particular poll.
There
so,
was.
So this wasn't like just 10 people answering
the
question. Oh,
no. This was a lot of people.
Okay.
And the next one, we really broke it down into figures and asked people, how many copies will Adele's 25 sell in its first week? And started with the adorable less than 1 million.
Yeah.
And only 1% chose that, so that's good.
They were smart.
But I'll tell you what the top three answers were. The number one answer was 2.5 million to 3 million. Very close. 31% chose that. The number two answer was only 2 million to 2.5 million. 22% guessed that. And the number three answer was the correct answer, over 3 million.
Oh.
20% chose that.
Hmm.
So, you know, they knew it was going to be big, but really people did not have an idea that it was going to be 3 million big.
Yeah.
You can tell by this poll. Okay. The next two questions are ones we're going to have to revisit on the future Pop Shop podcast because one is, will it sell a million copies in two or more weeks? Mm. So we got to wait till next week's figures to find that out.
Yeah. I'm trying my darndest right now to get some
predictions,
some industry forecasters to share with me, and also to see if we can get some daily reporting from Nielsen, because that's what we did throughout last week. We had Nielsen was able to do some quick math to make some magic happen, and we were able to report some quasi, you know, daily sales on Adele. So
I'm curious. I want to know what it's going to do this week.
Evidently, it's Black Friday sales were like off the chain.
Oh, good call. Oh, my God. And it's totally going to do another million. I'm guessing without any information.
Katie's like, I'm guessing. I'm like, we don't know yet.
We do not know.
By the time we finish recording this, I may have some sort of actual knowledge.
So stay tuned to Billboard.com. And the final question was, how many weeks will it be number one on the Billboard 200?
We got one under its belt.
Yep, got one. And how many weeks was 21 at number one?
21 was number one for 24 non-consecutive weeks.
That's a hard record to beat, so we'll see. But this album could do it. Or maybe it sold everything in its first week.
Well, that could be it too. You know, 21 had a long life because people continued to discover the album on a weekly basis for, you know, over a year. The the difference with 25, obviously, is that you have that this incredible, you know, popularity rolling into the first week where, you know, if you probably know who Adele is.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to buy the album in
There's
the first week
There's not
going to
be that discovery like right. there was last time. Yeah.
So the challenge is, you know, will you have sort of a sustained longevity on the chart, or will everyone that wanted to buy you
yeah.
in the first like month or two?
Which, I mean, do you want the long record for like number of weeks at number one, or do you want this insane like out the gate record that she has? You know, like you can't. I guess you. Well, I was gonna say you can't do both, but Adele might be able to.
I think, you know, and also with the way the chart works now, the Billboard 200, because it is a overall popularity chart that is based on overall consumption in terms of units, where we blend album sales with track purchases and streaming units, the album could have a very long chart life ahead of it. And also, it's so far ahead of everything else,
yeah.
like millions of units away. Like, it could just have a traditional normal erosion for the next,
like... Well, and it's like, will it be a big Christmas seller, or will everyone assume that whoever wants it has it? You know, is a grandma going to buy this album for her grandkid, and the kid's going to be like, yeah, I got this.
Got it.
Week one, like everybody else did.
Got three copies already. Thanks, Grandma, and Aunt Liz, and Uncle Joe. It's like every stocking will have a copy of 25 in it. Well, I didn't know if you had the Target edition.
Right, exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
Double up.
Double up. Goodness. Well, boy, oh boy. Oh, didn't we have another poll about
yes.
what picked the next single from
and
Adele's
actually,
album?
Actually, when you were reporting on the Hot 100, you mentioned the four songs from 25
yeah.
that were on the chart. And so we did a poll that was, what do you think the next single should be after Hello? And it's the other three songs that were on the Hot 100 this week. So actually, I guess people were kind
so
of
when we were
on
young.
Top of it. The number one choice was When We Were Young, which makes sense since that was the first one we heard in full after Hello.
Right.
And 31% chose that. The number two choice was Water Under the Bridge. 20% chose that. And number three was the beautifully titled Send My Love, parenthetical title, to Your New Lover. At 19%.
Hmm.
Yep.
When I listen to Audible, I'm not flying to my third sales meeting this month. I'm on a romantic date with my vampire boyfriend, Pierre. That pale skin, those dark, mysterious eyes, and those pointy teeth. Take me away, Pierre!
Ma'am?
I want to become queen of the night!
Ma'am! Something to drink?
Water, please.
Audible. Stories that surround you. More than 180,000 audio titles, and your first download is free at audible.com.
What else do we want to know about Adele? Anything else to ask me about Adele?
I'm wondering if anything else might have been on the charts other than Adele this week.
Funny you should ask, Katie. Actually, yes. There are some other albums that debut on the Billboard 200 this week. Strangely enough, people did not completely avoid the November 20th release day, though some people did. November 20th was the day that 25 came out. In addition, Jadakiss's new album came out.
Sure.
Top 5, Dead or Alive. Debuts in the top 5.
No, it is indeed top 5. That would have been really embarrassing if it had ended up in number 6.
Top 12!
Yeah.
I think it's his first album, I want to say, since like 2009 or something
ridiculous.
Yeah, that
sounds right.
It's been like, I think it's been like 6 years. Debuts number 4 on the Billboard 200. Inya is back on the chart.
Yes.
Her new album, Dark Sky Island, debuts at number 8 on the Billboard 200. I actually have a statistic in here somewhere. Hold on one moment, please, while I find it. She returns to the top 10 for the first time in 7 years. The new album debuts at number 8. The set is her first collection of new recordings since the holiday effort And Winter Came. I wonder how she would actually say any of these words. Dark Sky Island. Is she Irish? I think maybe she's Irish.
Oh man, I don't know.
Inya is just an entity.
She's this pop entity
that just sort of floats in.
She comes from the atmosphere.
She comes from the ether. Her holiday effort And Winter Came debuted and peaked at number 8 back in November of 2008. Before that, she hit the top 10 with Amarantine. Ooh. Number 6 in 2005, A Day Without Rain. Number 2 in 2011. It actually reached its peak, believe it or not, like a year after it came out. because A Day Without Rain included the song Only Time.
Oh, yeah.
Which became kind of a post 9/11 memorial kind of anthem.
Right.
And also, there was a mashup of it that had Friends dialogue, too, I remember at one point.
Wow.
Yeah, two different things. Two very different things.
That really is a sign of the times.
Yeah. And then before that, she hit the top 10 with The Memory of Trees back in 1996. I enjoy Enya.
Of course.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't want to hear Enya while getting their teeth cleaned? That's when I think, that's when I hear Enya.
Really?
In elevators and doctor's offices. Yes, that's where I hear her most.
I think there's a certain timeless quality to her music.
Oh, yeah.
Where you you can't place it.
Yes.
And I think it is, it's always interesting and different and good. I'm not like an Enya geek by any stretch of the imagination, but it's like it's nice.
You appreciate her.
I appreciate Enya. Yes. I really love that darn Orinoco Flow song. Who doesn't? Everyone loves May It Be.
Don't forget Sail Away.
That's Orinoco Flow.
Oh, is that what it's called? Yeah. Oh man,
now I'm showing my
Enya knowledge just came out.
Well, we should probably move on then, because you don't know about Enya.
Oh, sorry, Enya.
That's all right. Nothing really major came out last Friday, I don't think. So it looks like I'm sure Adele will be number one again easily.
Yeah.
I think this Friday we've got a new Chris Brown album.
Yeah, which was supposed to be Black Friday and he moved it.
Oh.
So this week, yeah.
Troye Sivan, Coldplay comes out this Friday.
Yes, it does.
We still have Will It Actually Come Out album by Rihanna at some point?
Yep, that's still hanging. We'll see.
Maybe.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. That may or may not come out at some point, hopefully soon. We don't know. I think it's time now for our interview with Allie Brooke.
I think so, too.
Katie, tell me all about this, because you talked to her.
Yeah, so Allie from Fifth Harmony called us to talk about Prematurity Awareness Month in November. Any of the harmonizers who follow her on social media have seen all the posts she's put up around the cause. And she was born a preemie, and she's working with the March of Dimes to help families like hers deal with all the issues of premature birth. But, of course, we had to get into the music, too, and there was a lot to talk about because she and the rest of Fifth Harmony are back in the studio recording the follow-up to their debut album, Reflection. And Allie told us the ladies had a lot more input this time into songwriting and song selection. She even talked about how they put a ballad on this album that they didn't really have any ballads on their first one, and they really wanted to do some ballads. So slow it down a little bit. She also talked about the success of their single Worth It, which got all the way up to number 12 on the Billboard Hot 100. And finally, that they are our group of the year at the Billboard Women in Music event, which takes place on December 11th, next week. And it airs December 18th on Lifetime for the first time. So we had to talk about that honor and rubbing elbows with Lady Gaga, Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, and all of the other honorees. So here is our interview with Miss Allie Brooke. Every day is payday, swipe my card, then I do a name. You're talking to a late day, I want a Kanye, yeah, not the right day. Hello, Allie Brooke, and welcome to the Pop Shop Podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, girl.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today. You know, you and Fifth Harmony have been guests before on the podcast, but this is your first time here all by yourself because you have something very close to your heart to talk about. So what can you tell us about your work with March of Dimes around Prematurity Awareness Month?
Yes. Well, I'm so excited that I'm able to be working with March of Dimes because my personal story is when I was born a premature baby. I was about, definitely about 6 weeks early. And I was born 1 pound, 14 ounces, which is really crazy. I was so tiny that I could fit into my dad's hands. He would literally carry me in his hand. And the doctor came out when I was born, and he said, hey, you have two good things going for you. You know, talking about, okay. And he was like, one, she's a girl, and girls do better than boys as far as, you know, surviving and as far as just health-wise. And two, she came out screaming, which was unheard of because her lungs should not have been developed. So that is my personal story. And knowing what my family went through as far as, you know, being really, of course, scared and nervous, and, you know, me fighting through every single day to survive, I really, really, really wanted to be able to help other families like mine to be able to help babies and families who are going through this and who are struggling of having a premature baby.
And you mentioned that you came out screaming. Were your parents pretty sure that you were going to do something important with those lungs one day?
Well, it's funny because they like to joke that I came out singing instead of screaming. So they always say that. It's really cute.
Yeah, and what can your harmonizers do to help with the cause?
Yeah, well, they can go to marchofdimes.org to find out what they need to know about premature birth. There are a lot of opportunities to donate, volunteer, and to work to save little babies like me.
You know, it's a big time for you and Fifth Harmony. You guys just finished a European tour, and now you're working on the follow-up to Reflection. So how's it been to get back in the studio and start making new music again and start looking toward that next album?
It's been really, really great. I mean, this time around, we're very adamant about what we want, and we make sure that our voice is being heard. We're very hands-on on the type of sound we want and the type of message we want to portray, and also just the lane that it's going. And it's a lot of fun. We're experimenting a lot, we're creating a lot, and we're really happy because we're actually being able to really contribute with what we want. And as far as the sound ranges from pop, R&B, urban, there's a little bit of even reggae feel to it, even a little bit of kind of the electronic sound that you're hearing a lot today on the radio. It's really, really fun, and we're incorporating more harmonies, and we're being able to sing, which is so important.
Yeah, and you said you're able to contribute a little bit more. Does that mean that you're kind of bringing in your own stories and actually collaborating with songwriters and getting in at the songwriting process?
Yes, for sure. I mean, we were able to more so talk to the songwriters, you know, about the topics that we want to talk about, you know, of course, keeping the girl power theme and also just the self-empowerment theme, as well as talking about love and heartbreak, having good time with your friends and, you know, topics like that. But we've been able to talk to the writers and say, hey, you know, this is what we like, this is the way we want to go in, and they've been really good at collaborating with us. And also, if we don't like a lyric, we've been able to tweak it on our own, kind of be like, hey, let's do this word instead. So it's been really, really great this time around.
That's really exciting. It sounds like it's going to be a lot more personal this time, which is great for your fans, I'm sure.
Yeah. The good thing is, well, what we wanted especially was because we didn't have a lot of vulnerability and a lot of, actually, I don't think we even had really any ballads on the Reflection album, it was really important for us to be like, hey, guess what? We are having a ballad on this album, and there's nothing you can do about it. We're all on the same page. We wanted to be more dynamic, for sure. And that's what we're doing, and I'm so excited to be able to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you had your first top 20 hit on the Billboard Hot 100 this year with Worth It. When you were making Reflection, did you guys have any idea that that was going to be the one that was going to be the breakout song?
Oh, my goodness. No, well, I remember the day we heard it in the studio. Our A&R played it for us, press space bar, and then the first thing we hear was,
feel any sort of pressure from that? Like you need to repeat that success again with that song?
Not really. At the end of the day, we just want to make music that's authentic to us.
Yeah.
And kind of just portray that to the world and to our audience. And we really hope that people get a true representation of who we are on this album. And obviously we want it to be successful and hopefully help us grow even more. But at the end of the day, we want to make music that's true to us. And the hits, that would be fun.
Yeah, the hits will just come. and since we're on with Billboard, we have to congratulate you for being named Group of the Year at this year's Billboard Women in Music.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for that. Like, that was unbelievable. I mean, I just, there are really no words, but we're just so honored and so extremely thankful. Thankful to the Billboard for constantly supporting us. Thankful to our fans for being so passionate and loyal as they are. Thankful to everybody who's really supported us and believed in us.
Well, it's very much deserved, and I mean, it's been a huge year for you guys. What has this year meant for you and the group? And, you know, obviously you've earned this Group of the Year title. What is the year meant for you personally?
This year has been crazy. It's been probably the craziest year of my life. you know, we've been through so much as a group, as people and as artists, and of course trying to find our sound and who we are, and the fact that we had a hit and, oh my gosh, all these doors just kind of opened, and so many of our favorite artists we've been able to meet and interact with, and even get comments from them, having our fan base grow and having them constantly support us. We were just in Europe and we were able to have a tour over there. There's so much to be thankful for, and for us, I mean, just all, for me, it's about gratitude, you know,
yeah.
Because not a lot of people get this opportunity, and we know what we've been through, we know how hard we've worked, and to be here is so amazing, and I'm taking in every single moment, and I'm just so thankful, so thank you to everybody out there who supported us, seriously.
And at that event next month, you're going to be rubbing elbows with some serious superstars. There's going to be Lady Gaga, Missy Elliott, Loretta Lynn, just legends and fellow female musicians.
I know!
Who are you most excited to see and to meet? And, I mean, also, you know, people that you've obviously come up with, Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, they're all there, too. Like, who are you most excited to see?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, everybody you named, really. I mean, there's so much talent in there. What girl power. I'm just so proud of all of us and what we've been able to achieve this year. It would be really, really cool to see Selena. I really admire her and personally I'm a big fan of her, and especially everything she stood up for. And she, like me, has a lot of faith. And I think that's so awesome. And she's able to do what she loves still and be in the music industry. It's so great. Lady Gaga, too, we kind of one time randomly ran into her at the studio, and she was really nice, but obviously we were both working, so it was very, very, very brief, but to be able to kind of see her in person and hopefully be able to talk to her would be so amazing, because she's another extraordinary talent, and that's going to be crazy to be in the same room as her. Also, Demi, of course, she's had an insane year. Her talent is, like, so, so big too. It's crazy. I mean, the list can go on and on, really.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun night.
I know. It's such a good group of women. So, yeah, it'll be a great night. And, you know, just to wrap things up, do you kind of hope that, you know, in your work with March of Dimes and in your bandmates' work with other charities, that you'll kind of inspire the harmonizers to do the same in their own communities and get out there and kind of, you know, pick a cause and stand behind it?
Oh my gosh, of course. I mean, anything that is passionate, that you're passionate about, anything that's close to your heart, I completely encourage you to just support that and to stand by it. I mean, it's just simple. You don't even have to really, you know, join a huge organization or anything like that. It starts with you in your own community, just being kind to one another, being supportive of one another, and loving and respectful. I can't tell you how far that will go in life. So just being able to do that and, you know, smile to the person next to you, smile to a stranger, and make a new friend, make a new person feel welcome. I mean, there's so many things you can do to help your community and ultimately to help the world, because if we were all kind, if we were all loving and respectful to one another, this world would be so different. So it starts with you, and you can do it. Don't let anything hold you back.
That is a beautiful note to end on. Allie, thank you so much for your time. We love Fifth Harmony on the Pop Shop Podcast so much and at Billboard, so it's a pleasure anytime we get to talk to you or any of your bandmates, so thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. We appreciate it, and thank you so much for supporting the girls, and I means a lot.
Thanks again to Allie Brooke from Fifth Harmony.
All those Fifth Harmony girls are so lovely.
Oh my goodness, she was the sweetest. As you can tell from that interview, she's just like so upbeat. She left it on such a positive note, wanting all the harmonizers to just smile their way through life. So I honestly feel like I want to be a better person after talking to her.
She's just, I need to take whatever she's taking. So it's just love and happiness. And I wasn't suggesting that she's taking anything. You know what I mean. But I mean, literally, like, those girls are always so effervescent.
So sweet. So, so positive.
Nice. And I don't know how they sleep.
Yeah, I don't know if they do. Maybe
do
they don't.
They probably don't. Katie, do you know what time it is now?
What time is it, Keith?
It's time for the chart stat of the week.
Yeah.
This week in 1978, Barbara Streisand and Neil Diamond hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with their iconic duet, You Don't Bring Me Flowers. The collaboration jumped to the top of the list, dated December 2nd, 1978, marking the third number one for Streisand of so far five chart toppers, and the third number one of three for Neil. The song had a rather famous origin story. Are you familiar with the story?
I am not.
Well, I'll tell you. As the track actually started out as a solo recording by each singer, Diamond released his version in 1977 on his album, I'm Glad You're Here With Me Tonight. I don't know why I'm saying it like that way. It's just like how
like
Neil
requires that.
It's how Neil might say it. And Barbara released her version in early 1978 on her album, Songbird. Radio station program director Gary Guthrie, then at WAKY in Louisville, Kentucky, mashed up the two solo recordings into a virtual duet. The station started playing it on the air, and it quickly took off in popularity. Other radio stations mimicked that idea and actually asked them, like, hey, do you have a copy that we can start playing? And it became this kind of viral sensation on airwaves back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Soon after, Barbara and Neil got together to record an official duet version of the song, basically in response to the virtual version. I'm sure they were probably thinking,
hey,
maybe we could do our own version. Yeah. Maybe something official. Perhaps
maybe we should make money on this thing.
Yeah, maybe we can make a little dough. So they recorded their own version of the song, which was released in late 1978. It quickly shot to number one on the Hot 100 and was later nominated for Record of the Year at the Grammy Awards. Also, they opened, I believe, the Grammy Awards that year with You Don't Bring Me Flowers.
Wow.
I think, I'm not sure if it was the first time that they performed it live, but it was like this big thing where like it was like a cold open.
Yeah.
And like Barbara and Neil come out from either side of the stage and they meet in the middle. And like, you know, Barbara touches Neil's face. And, you know, it was like, you know, the fans go wild. And it didn't win for Record of the Year, but it was still nominated.
They still had a moment.
Still had a moment. So anyway, there you go. That is your chart set of the week. This week in 1978, You Don't Bring Me Flowers hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
I really love how the chart set of the week gets you singing.
Yeah.
I very much enjoy that.
Anymore. I saw Neil Diamond at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, did you?
This year. It was so
I've
good.
Never seen him live, and I love him. I don't know how I haven't seen him live.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's
so many
good.
Songs.
So many songs, so many hits. I've never seen Barbara live, though.
I haven't, and I'm obsessed with her voice. My mom loved her growing up.
That would cost an arm and a leg to go to a Barbra
Streisand
show.
I'm sure that's
true. Yeah. Anyway, I digress. I think that's it for this week's show.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week. As usual. Katie, do you have any parting words?
I'll just be going to see when Neil Diamond is touring next, so I can go see him.
He just wrapped up a tour, I think, a
few
months
ago. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Sorry.
Missed it.
What song should we go out on?
I feel like I need to make it up to Enya, and so we should go out on Orinoco Flow, which I now know the title of.
It's okay. I think a lot of people call it Sail Away.
Okay.
Because that's what people know.
All right. Well, hopefully someone else has learned something today, just like I did.
Yeah. We'll go out on Orinoco Flow by Enya. And thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.